Now, do you guys want me to give you like? Do you guys want me to give you a hook, like to like you know to hook into the podcast before your intro song plays?
Oh, you're like five steps ahead. Wow.
Yeah. Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
That could be the hook. Me asking. No, I'm just kidding. I'll do this for real.
Meta.
Ooh, meta.
Oh, we're getting meta tonight. All right. Here we go. Ready? So I've got some good news and bad news for you guys. The good news, I've been binge listening to your podcast.
Oh.
And the bad news, I've got some notes for you.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Well, okay. The boys upstairs at corporate sent me down here with a couple notes for you guys. And, you know, we love what you guys are doing. Lars, great.
Mm.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
But the boys upstairs are thinking they can sell you to the advertisers a little better if maybe this season you have an accent.
That could work.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll add a little spice.
Can you be a little bit more specific? Because that's not very useful.
Technically, Lars has an accent, like a default type of American.
See, that's the problem, is you guys both just have such grizzly voices, and they just blend together into one voice pudding. And I think if Lars maybe had like a French accent, it would really set him apart.
Lars, you got to do your French accent that you won't.
Well, see, this is why we don't really listen to corporate, because I feel like it's one of those things where like they don't understand the region. Like the branch that we're at does things in a certain way. And I know it's super wacky, but it gets the job done. So
Lars, you have to say it like, it is a me, Lars, from the France.
How about Joe, you just do that and I'll pretend that's me. Like you can just say my lines in French.
In the spirit of honesty and transparency, we do need to communicate in our proper accents. For me, that would be my voice now. And for you, that would be your Frenchman spin.
I really don't want to do this. It's going to be so bad.
Lars has, here, just give it a try. Let's see what it sounds like.
Je un tour de fel pantalon.
No.
Steve, how'd that sound? Steve. Steve's from corporate. Steve, is that good?
That was great. Lars is always awesome.
Yeah, that's good. Joe, your energy that you bring to the table, loving it. The witty comments and the banner, loving that.
Thank you.
But we wanna hit the female demographic a little harder, so.
Sure.
So I'm thinking for maybe this episode, you try like being the bad boy of the group.
Oh, okay. Did you have anything in mind? Like, do I have a catchphrase?
Well, even if I gave you like instructions, I feel like the bad boy wouldn't follow my instructions, if you know what I mean.
Well, you can give me like a little guidance and I'll go the other way.
Oh,
I could. Yeah.
Be like a positive influence.
Like heck, I would do something like that. I would never be a positive influence on Earth's green morning.
Joe, I think he meant an actual bad boy, not like the depiction of a bad boy in a Christian film.
Okay. Well,
yeah, you can
what
do
about
better.
This? I'm going to get on my Harley and ride away if you don't stop poking fun.
I like that. I like that a lot, actually. And then, like, maybe, like, rev your engine really loudly while I'm talking, like, just to interrupt me.
Hold on. I actually have the perfect sound effect for that.
You do?
Okay. I'm going to...
Oh, so you're talking like a redneck bad boy. Okay.
I'm going to get on my bicycle and ride away if you don't quit making fun of me. And that's all I have to say.
Sounds like you're just doing Forrest Gump kind of there.
Well, now you have the accent. This is all wrong.
Oh, that works. Okay.
Well, I'm going to get on my bicycle and I'm going to go on my way. And while I do that, I've actually got a high-performance energy drink on me called NOS Energy Drink.
Is that a thing?
Have you guys ever enjoyed such an enhanced mental focus?
Is this a branded segment?
No. I just like to talk about the drink that I'm drinking. Sometimes it's a Diet Pepsi. Sometimes it's an energy drink. Watch this sound, and I hope that this does not explode on me, because this has been in my pantry for quite a while. Listen to this crisp note I'm about to hit.
Oh, crack it. Oh, I love that. Do that one more time.
I don't think you can. I think Drumsy just came alive on air.
All right.
Do you guys want to start the show? Because this is all bullshit so far, in a good way.
Okay. Yeah, I mean.
Sure.
Well, I'm running the show now.
All right. So take it away. Go for it.
Welcome to the First Ones podcast. Wait, I just ruined it.
Every fucking time we have this fucking guest.
No. We'll change the name.
Okay, good. Welcome to the First Podcast. I'm your host, Drumsy. Today I've got two wonderful guests. I've been trying to get them for a while, and let me tell you, they are hard to get a hold of. We've got Joe.
Hey, that's my name.
And Lars.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate how you actually, like, physically came to my house. Like, I can respect the moxie and the initiative, but you kind of can't do that in 2020. In fact, you really never should have done that.
During a global pandemic, nonetheless.
Yeah, just wildly inappropriate in every possible way. But yeah, thanks for having us on the show. When he actually did come to my house, he offered me a crisp $20 bill. And, you know, who am I to say no to 20 bucks? So I guess here we are, Joe.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the show, Drumsy?
Are you guys really giving me the reins here? Because I don't know, like, I didn't prepare questions.
Oh, that's okay. You can kind of just sort of, you know, struggle your way through it. That's fine. Whatever this podcast is, we'll just kind of roll with it.
Okay. Well, I did dig my grave, so I will sit in it.
Okay. You said you had some bits prepared. We can get into those.
Well, don't out me. Listen, it's got to sound natural when it comes up.
All right.
I did have I do have some questions prepared. I could throw one at you if you would like some direction.
Okay. Well, guys, we don't usually do this on the podcast, but I'm going to let the guest host. So this is going to be a little bit of a special episode. Joe and Lars, why don't you guys take over?
Okay. This is highly unorthodox.
It's highly unusual.
Okay.
Drumsy.
Joe, you want to take a crack at it? Let's give this a shot.
Sure. I love taking a crack at it.
All right.
Drumsy, when I watch your videos, like She's Not Allowed to Swear, Child Exterminator, or No Daddy Gang, I get an impression that the people you record with are just a group of friends hanging out, and you guys just happen to be making YouTube videos. Were you and the rest of the gang friends before you started making videos, or did you meet along the way?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's great that you get that impression, because really, we are not even close to being friends, I wouldn't even say. Now, okay, listen.
Oh, really?
I'm going to lay this out for you right now. Okay. I'm going to make so many jokes, and they're not even actually considered jokes, probably. They're just going to come off so dry and so unusual that you're not going to be able to tell when I'm actually telling the truth or not. So I think I want to give you guys the decision right now. Do you want a serious Drumsy, or do you want like a wacky joking. Wild Drumsy?
The wacky wild, preferably. Yeah, like,
so for reference on iTunes, this podcast is listed as a comedy. We would appreciate you staying on format, please.
But if you do tell some, I mean, I think that we would be able, as comedy producers ourselves,
legendary comedy producers,
I think that we would be able to decipher if you say something really mean. I would be like, he's probably not like a mean person. So I'm assuming that one's a joke, even if it doesn't sound like it, based on the dryness, you could say.
Yeah, okay. I like, yeah, that's a good explanation.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, this energy drink is, it's pretty good. It tastes very, very fruity. Very fruity indeed.
What flavor is it?
Fruit, he just said.
let me see. I'm not sure that it has a flavor, actually.
Wait, so it just tastes like static? What are you talking about?
Well,
a lot of energy drinks have that kind of gasoline taste to them that a lot of people love.
You're right.
People also say that they like the smell of gasoline. Like, you'll be at a gas station with people. I never understood why they say this. People say, like, oh, I love the smell right now.
you want some context for that? Because I'm not like a fan, but I can explain.
Yeah, no, please.
Listed flavor. It does kind of have like a fruity gasoline taste.
Well, usually there's like some weird obscure flavor where it's like
pure zero extra energy liquid heroin crack.
Well, I think the name of this flavor is complex, but the yep. E is an X and the X is a six and there's no okay. O. So it's like CMPLX6.
I feel like the names of energy drinks and the titles and the flavors are much more cringy than we don't really talk about it as a society. Like, they're just bad. They're the worst of like gamer culture and bro culture, but we just kind of let it slide, I guess. Why do we?
Because the people who drink them are drinking them for the energy, not the marketing. And because the marketing is so bad, it makes them feel in charge. Like they didn't.
Oh, okay.
They were not influenced by the marketing.
It's like when you buy like fruit gummies. You know what I mean? Like it's not, you're buying them because they're so childish and immature that you know, okay. like, as an adult, I get to make the decision to buy these and eat them.
Oh.
Yeah, or you go to the 99-cent store and you're buying Pop-Tarts, like off-brand Pop. You're there for a reason. You're there. You're not there to succumb to marketing. You're like, if they call their Pop-Tarts, you know, shop farts.
Poppin' Funds.
Yeah,
Poppin' Funds. Really off-brand shit, yeah.
That's just the way it goes.
Greendale's the way it goes.
So anyway, let's give some context here, because I feel like someone who's coming at this episode and isn't familiar with Drumzy and isn't familiar with VR chat, we just have no idea what's going on. So I'm going to ask you let's do two serious questions, semi-serious, I guess, and then we can get back to the whack if you
great.
Can appreciate that. Okay. So number one, why Drumzy? Why has it not got drums anymore? And what?
You can't have, you dug that far back? You found the old Got Drums days? Okay, so my name used to be Got Drums.
Okay, yeah, because our agent was like, oh, hey, that other guy you want on the podcast, pay money, Wubby.
Thank God my dad didn't, you know, bolt a goddamn fire hose to my asshole, slap some wheels on me, roll me around the house.
Did some videos with him. And I think back then you were just Got Drums, right?
Oh, you jumped so far back. Okay, yeah, so my name used to be Got Drums. Okay. I used to, and like some people might even remember this that didn't even think they would remember this, because I've like distanced from that name so much that a lot of people don't even make the connection.
Okay.
I've had like, my channel has had two waves, right? So the first wave of people that used to come into my channel and watch came for Call of Duty auto-tune videos, and I would sing songs and make up the lyrics on the spot with the name Got Drums. And then I just stopped, you know, my channel like died for a couple of years. I just stopped making videos. Oh, okay. And when I came back, I was like, okay, I want a new name. I don't want to keep getting a bunch of comments saying, where are the auto-tune Call of Duty videos? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I felt like the name Got Drums almost sounded like a drumming channel. And I felt like just for brand image, you're like, people are going to just hear the name and be like, so where are the drumming videos?
Well, okay, so I'm going to poke a hole in that, though, because I feel like I would expect the same thing from Drumzy. Like,
okay, Lars, well, I'm the one with the YouTube channel that has the subscribers here, so let's see who made the right decision.
So we're judging who's correct based on how many YouTube subs? Okay.
No, I'm with Drumzy on this one.
Using numbers.
Well, you're wrong. Okay.
I didn't think of drums when I heard Drumzy, and it actually wasn't until Lars...
Why the fuck would you not think of drums when you hear...
It's the
what
why.
What else would you
it's
think
the,
of, like,
it's
elephants?
It's the why, Lars. It's the why. The why at the end of the name implies friendliness. Like I'm a person. Like, my name is Johnny, or Scotty, or Ronnie. You know? You got the why at the end? It's a name.
I completely understand. I did not think of drums. I thought of, like, Drumzy is, like... an animated character, maybe from a kid's show or something. Your drums, like Gumzy, or like, if you see a channel called Gumzy, you don't think gum. You think, oh, there's some character named, like Gumby. Or, Fartsy. I don't know.
Well, I think I heard Fartsy.
That's
what
you went with it. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate the backup, but.
I lost it.
Someone in the chat says at discord.tumpodcast.com, if you want to tune in these episodes live, that Drumzy gives off Scott vibes for some reason.
Who's Scott? Where is he?
Like, they're saying that, like, your name should be Scott.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah. I'll take that one up with my parents.
Okay, like they're the ones who would have to change it?
Well, they
okay.
named me. I don't want to like disrespect them.
Oh, okay.
Did they ask you? Did they ask
wow,
you?
Wow, I didn't consent. Mm. That's true. I can. Okay. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Let me get back to the question that I keep dodging.
Sure.
So now I'm Drumsy. Now I make virtual reality videos. I don't know how to explain them without sounding like abstract, like some kind of like, oh, I'm like a director that makes noir films. Like, I don't want to sound conceited about it, but I feel like they're like, it's a video game that's in VR, but like I would describe them more like vlogs. We kind of like do skits together. If you think of like Ready Player One, that's the game VR Chat is very much like Ready Player One. So we're kind of just acting out like vlogs or skits in a virtual mm-hmm. reality shell rather than like playing a game like a gaming channel would.
So what are you guys doing behind the scenes? Are you wearing goggles?
Yeah, so we're sitting in our rooms, often not wearing any clothes, with a big virtual reality mask on, and we wave our hands around, and the hands are tracked in game, so you can see our head movement and our hand movement, and sometimes feet movement if we're feeling frisky.
And you're wearing in-game. Like gloves, or you're holding a controller.
It depends. There's a bunch of different options for virtual reality, but the one I use has these little like controllers that wrap around your hands, and they feel very natural, kind of like sticks.
Okay.
And occasionally, somebody will walk into something while recording. I've noticed, like, at least once, you'll see the character on the screen like suddenly stop moving, and then the person will be like, "Oh, I forgot where I was."
Yes. So VR. Sometimes, so like when you're actually playing virtual reality, I'm going to give you a little insider action into the VR world. When you're in the mask, you know, people might think, well, why, how do you know not to punch your wall randomly? So in game, mm-hmm. when you first put on the VR headset, you trace your hand around your room with the controller and set boundaries. So when you get close to a wall in game, there will be like a visual indicator that says there's a wall here.
Wow. Okay.
Here's the thing for my videos though. When I'm recording, I don't want those visual indicators to show up on my recording, so I take them off when I'm recording, and it's very often that we hit stuff.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay.
How long have you been doing this for?
The VR videos I've been doing for about 2 years.
Okay. And your channel has grown substantially since then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's exciting.
I'd like to think so, yeah.
You get a lot of views on your videos. Every single one of your videos, I mean, pretty much they all have at least around like a million views, or every single one of them has just about 100,000 or more. Every last one, back to the beginning.
Yeah, I've been really lucky. I think a lot of it has to do with this little thing called TikTok that came around.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's on the train. I know Joe has a TikTok.
Yes.
Joe's a pretty big TikTok, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Not as big as Drumsy.
Well, here's the thing, nope. though. Here's the thing, Joe. Mine happened in like the span of 2 months. I made my TikTok like 3 months ago.
Wow.
And I didn't link it from my YouTube channel at all. Like it was all natural growth. And the crazy thing is, the reason we did it is because, you know, like I see all like the new things pop up all the time. Like, you know, like new apps pop up all the time. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to hop on that one. That's too much work. Like I'll have to like have, you know, it's basically a side job to take up like an Instagram or whatever other social mm-hmm. media account. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, TikTok, not going to do that. And then I start seeing all of my video clips like getting reposted by other people going viral. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, man, I should have jumped on that. So I jumped on really late. But once I did, my videos, like, I think I was at like a million subscribers a couple like half a year ago at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And
oh man,
I just doubled.
Drumsy, I could have told you that, man. Your stuff would obviously compress well onto TikTok. Like it's little bite-sized pieces of it would be literally perfect for that platform. Like
well,
that makes complete
sense. If you need a job, Lars, you can be my advisor because I'm just a kid. I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay. I mean, I think you're pretty similar in age to us, but yeah. Metaphorically speaking,
I was also going to say you've got like between like 20 to 30 million likes on there, which probably means somewhere around like at least 100 to 200 million views on your videos, which is a lot of marketing for people to be exposed to that. So if 1% of them went over to YouTube and followed you, then yeah, you could gain a million subscribers pretty easily that way if 1% of them are doing that.
That's the worst part about TikTok, though. Okay, I can give you some super secret insight into the world of social media, and this is completely non-comedy, which is off-brand for you guys, but I'm going to say it anyways because it was so interesting when I heard it. This is some TikTok knowledge, right? Every platform, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, has like a conversion rate. Like if you want to get everybody on from your YouTube channel to go to a website, if I wanted to tell everyone on my channel to go to the T1 podcast Discord, a certain percentage of my audience would listen to me probably.
So please do that. Yeah, thanks.
No thanks. But I'm kidding. Yeah. Lars, anything for you. But
all right, thanks.
The thing about TikTok is everybody watching TikTok, no offense to any of you because I do it too, and so I'm talking about myself right now. Everyone watching TikTok has goldfish brain. It's 15 second memory. You watch a video and then you keep watching videos over and over and over and over, and then and there's no clock on the app. This is so sinister, but if you notice, like, you're on Facebook, YouTube, you can still see your time at the top of your phone, but when you're on TikTok, that shit goes away. And then all of a sudden, it's 7 hours later and you don't know what happened and you're laying in bed with your eyes bleeding red. And you've just been on... So this goldfish memory makes it really hard to convert people on TikTok. The conversion rate on TikTok is the lowest of any social media app. If you have 5 million viewers on TikTok and you tell them all to go to your YouTube channel, it is abysmal how many of them will actually do it.
Well, not to mention, if you did do something like that on TikTok, the algorithm's going to suppress you because it can sense that you're telling people to leave the app.
Yes, that's the other sad thing.
I completely understand where you're coming from. It is completely abysmal, the rate at which people will go onto other platforms. And whenever I see a video where somebody does like a funny prank, and then they're like, go onto our YouTube channel to see the full prank. It's like, why would I? I just saw it. I just saw the best part.
Yeah. It's too much work. It's too much. Yeah. Joe, can you do me a favor? Take us back to the comedy section.
Sure. So in one episode you had produced called Her Worst Experiment, at the 5 minute mark, you announce,
it's like my mother always says, when you're feeling stuck, here's some advice. The Scottish girl must be sacrificed.
Then there's a homemade chant and Illy announces she feels like a rotisserie chicken. Then she goes away. Is this really what your mother always said? Is my question for you.
My mom is an incredible woman. She brings a lot to the table. She watches all of my videos, and which is really, it's a sad thing to say when you're making things like I make and then knowing that your parents are watching it. Do your parents give the podcast a listen?
Yeah. My mom listens to every episode. Like, our stuff is not as raw as yours, but I mean, it's like, I mean, she's a very nice Christian woman, and sometimes I feel bad.
My mom doesn't know I do a podcast.
Lars, mom, you're doing great. Joe's parents, give him a call sometime. Give him a call. He needs your support.
Also, mom, when you listen to this, please don't go to Drumsy's channel. You will hate it. You will hate everything about it.
So, my parents have a great dynamic, though. My dad gives me a call after every video, and he's like, I loved this joke. And my mom gives me a call, and she said,
I don't like it when you said the mean thing to your friend.
Like, she's so... to answer your question, no, I don't think my mom says any of the things. I think I just like to put the words in her mouth to give a source of authority, credibility, because if it was me saying it, I'm 25, no one's going to listen to what I say.
That's what I imagined, actually. That's, yeah.
Well, yeah, because, like, and also your stuff is pretty, what's the word for it? You have a very specific setup at this point for videos, where it's like pretty regular breaks into the kind of the meta thing with your reporting thing. Why that? Why is that a thing?
The breaks in the content where I like narrate over it?
Yeah, because that's pretty unique, and it adds some comedy, but like, why?
Okay, so... that's a really good question. I think really like narratives, and when I like wanted to make YouTube videos that were in like the gaming world, I've always kind of like been like, how can I make like stories out of this without having to put like too much work into it, because, you know, like people that actually like write and like make, you know, short films put like, you know, hours and hours and hours into it. They gotta like write it and then they gotta edit it. And it's so much work.
Oh, hey, Ellie.
Oh, there you are.
Did you just bring Scottish girl Ellie in here? You've made a grave mistake.
Oh, hi.
Hey. Welcome, Ellie, to our show.
I need to turn on my professional mic. Hang on.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Quote unquote professional.
Drumsy, you know Ellie. You're familiar.
Yeah, of course I know Ellie. God, I can't believe you've done this to me. Seriously.
Oh, no. I feel bad for Drumsy.
So while Ellie's setting up her mic, Drumsy, why don't you tell us how you two know each other?
So Scottish girl Ellie was somebody I don't even know what the backstory is. I think she started as a viewer and she met me. Where did you meet me, Ellie?
I met you on one of your streams where like, can you sing, come in and sing? And at the time I didn't have VR, I didn't have any sound software, I didn't have a mic that was proper, I had a £2 headphones, and I came in and I really shitly sang, and then you felt bad because I was panicking and really embarrassed, and you invited me in, and then you added me because I was Scottish.
So let's dive back to the beginning of this podcast, you know, callback, when I said, Lars, you really got to have an accent. I'm a sucker for those things. And you hear this girl Ellie talking, and no matter what comes out of her mouth, no matter what she says, no matter how incoherent it is, our goldfish brains go, ooh, I like that. I like the sounds. I like the twang of her voice.
Yeah.
You have a very nice voice, Ellie.
Oh, thank you. My mom gave it to me.
Drumsy, doesn't that mean that you can kind of coast, though, a little bit? Like, does that mean that you don't have to develop such a strong personality if you rely on the exotic accent, is the question.
Well, that's the thing. I got really lucky with Ellie here. Ellie, plug your ears because I'm going to compliment you. She ended up having, like, such a, what's a good word? Is exuberant a word? Can you look that up for me?
It is.
She has such a exuberant personality, and like I didn't expect that. I pulled her in for the accent, and then I kept her for everything else.
Ah, I came for the accent, stayed for the personality.
Yeah.
Pog.
All right. Okay.
Drumsy, in Girls Only Sleepover, a June 16th, 2020 production, at the 1:35 mark, one of the girls in the sleepover says, "You either die a
simp or live long enough to become a thought."
So, which is it, Drumsy? Are you a simp or a thought? Neither, both, a combination, not a combination, redacted, no comment, or NA?
You gave me a lot of options there, Joe.
Wait, didn't you just make a tweet about this, though? That you're not going to do it this month?
Well, for September?
Yeah.
It's no simp September. That's true. So I can't actually admit that I'm a simp this month.
Mm-hmm.
But as a content creator, you do have to simp for your friends because you want them to keep coming back to the recordings. So you do have to be pretty nice to them.
Is it true. Simping if it's your friend, though? Like that sounds, I don't know. Is that just like getting along with your friends in your life at that point?
Well, isn't
maybe we're all simps.
Isn't that just friendship?
Isn't simping just being nice? Isn't simping itself just being nice?
Well, I think somewhere in a future video, I do say, maybe we're all simps.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe we're simps for our family and our friends.
No, because I would draw a pretty the strong distinction between someone displaying nice behavior and maybe even playing it up a little bit in comparison to a true simp, which is more about kind of a transactional approach to niceness.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens when I... So let me riddle me this.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to riddle.
I am inviting friends who I am nice to record with me and perform on a platform that then promotes them and gives them an avenue to start financially supporting themselves.
Oh, for sure.
Is that simping if I'm giving them that, if I'm helping them with that financial support?
No, that's just called doing what everyone should do in that situation, I think. Like, I think that one of the privileges of having a larger platform is that you get to kind of raise some people up with you to some extent.
That's true. On a side note, I didn't even need to raise up like half the people that I've worked with because ironically, multiple people now that are in my videos have OnlyFans and are just huge on there. I am a little small boy in comparison.
Well, do you have an OnlyFans?
I do not. No. I just mean like my actual like channel and like,
oh,
yeah, okay. Is just small in comparison to what these people are doing on OnlyFans.
I just wanted to say that I completely support people who do have an OnlyFans. I think that that's great that people are able to financially benefit from the world that we live in, that, you know, and people have been benefiting from human sexuality for a long time. And it's about time that people are able to benefit themselves.
Yeah.
Also, as a dirty capitalist, I really just support people making money wherever they can. I mean, if people are willing to pay for it, you know, that's great.
That's a good take. That's a good take. And apparently sex workers have had it rough before the venture of OnlyFans popping up. Like they were underpaid, as I hear it.
Yep.
Illy.
Yeah.
Illy, do you live in Scotland?
Yes, I do. I'm actually in the process of moving down to the borders. So
how do you like it there?
Scotland's not too bad. It's a little better than England, I'd say, personally, when it comes to the wildlife and that.
But are you biased?
Maybe a bit. Can't blame me. Can't blame me at all.
Is OnlyFans popular where you are? Do a lot of people have it there?
Not that I'm aware of. For some reason, Scottish females seem to be a bit of an anomaly. So yeah. I never really see the Scottish girls on OnlyFans. Personally, I haven't actually got it yet, mainly because I'm too scared to, but like I've been considering doing it for art.
Mm-hmm.
So, for art, okay.
Yeah.
I have a friend who recently got one only 1 month ago, and in 1 month she made $8,500.
Yeah, and I would even consider that like somewhat on the low side.
That
like
is 100% the low end of what people are making on there. It goes astronomical.
Should I make an OnlyFans for art? I'm considering it like heavily.
Illy, you're not making this decision right now in front of everybody.
I mean, if you want. You heard it here first.
My vote is do it if you would like to.
Yeah.
I would. I think it would be a cool way because it's like they don't have any rules against using it for clean stuff. They say it's meant to be for clean stuff, even though it's
they don't have any rules, but I feel like the natural thing that ends up happening is that the clean stuff, I don't know this at all. Do people make money on clean stuff on OnlyFans?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, they treat it like Patreon. I mean, I could make one and put like little snippets of audio clips on, or I don't know.
So, okay.
Yeah. It's basically Patreon, but less sneaky and shady and cruel to its creators. Anyway.
Now, to those of you that are donating to the T1 podcast Patreon, please ignore everything that was just said, because Patreon still is a huge support for people that used it.
Yeah.
I used to use Patreon, and it was huge when I did not have enough income.
That was before you switched over to OnlyFans? No, I'm just kidding.
I wish I was on OnlyFans.
Wait. Drumsy, I don't think you ever actually explained why your name was Drumsy or Got Drums.
Oh, like originally, it's super easy. I do drum, and originally, like when I was 13, I had what the people of the Jewish race call a bar mitzvah. And my
are you Jewish?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
me too.
Oh,
that's cool.
Dude, let's bump noses sometime.
Yes.
Wow.
That's how we greet each other.
Boink.
For my bar mitzvah, it was drumming themed, and my mom got me a little poster that said "Got Drums?" Like Got Milk, and I just loved it so much, and that's why I made my name Got Drums. Aww. And then Drumsy was just the transitionary name to get away from it.
You know, we probably have a ton of mutual friends if we actually like, because all Jews know each other.
Yes.
I'm sure we're probably third cousins or something.
Do you know Greg Silverstein?
Oh, Greg?
Yeah, no, dude. Okay, I don't know. I'm just saying names.
Yeah. Do you know Paul Rubenhaus?
Rubenhaus?
No, I'm just...
No.
Are you like German in heritage, or are you like...
Oh, God. I don't know.
Just here. Okay.
You should probably find out.
I like to keep my life a mystery.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, don't dox yourself.
No, I didn't mean find out right now and tell us.
No. Like, I should. Well, you know what? No. You know what? It's a positive podcast. I'm calling my mother.
Okay.
Okay. And while Drumsy does that, Illy, I was actually in the UK recently. I was in Ireland and England. I did not go up to Scotland, but it was nice. I would actually consider moving there.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. The weather's nice and mild. We're kind of getting a lot of storms right now. Mm. Recently, we had one of the biggest storms I think we've ever seen in 58 years. We had an American-level lightning storm, and I saw ball lightning.
That's a very specific number of years. I have to ask, what happened 58 years ago?
A storm on the same magnitude, basically.
Oh, okay. That answers that. Moving on.
I've got my mom on the phone.
Okay. Put your mom
really?
Mom?
Yes?
Okay, I actually didn't know the answer to this question that these nice people asked me, and I had to call a reference, phone a friend. What's our heritage? Are we like German or?
Well, we have some ancestors that are from Eastern Europe, like Poland and Russia, I think.
Do you know what part of Poland? Like southern Poland?
What part of Poland do we know?
No, I don't know.
Well, this is boring. I thought it would be like... I thought we'd have like...
Russia.
Because I have ancestors from Poland and Russia too, actually.
We are boring. I mean...
No, we're not boring. Don't say that, Mom. I didn't mean it to you. I meant it to the people on the podcast. Mom, I love
That's
you.
Cool.
I'll talk to you later.
God, one be sweet.
All right, love you. Bye.
That was sweet. Okay. Let's play this up. Let's pretend like we found out that we're like long-lost cousins. Wow, I can't
Walt
believe it.
Walt Disney?
Wow.
Is my great-grandfather?
You must be his great-grandson.
Yep. Yeah, if he's your great-grandfather, you would be his great-grandson. That's correct.
Wow.
Wow. God. I'm just kidding. Let's not pretend like we're like falsely related.
Yeah,
I was, but there's a chance. Mm-hmm. There's a chance since we're both from the same same general region. You might also be related to Larry David and Bernie
maybe.
Sanders, who are from Poland originally.
Bernie Sanders, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. By the way, Illy, I'm gonna let you go in a second, but do you have anything you want to plug while you're here?
Plug? Oh god, my jokes. Okay, just meet me before I make a really cringe joke.
just say it.
plug my butt. Plug my
Oh, Illy. Oh, you rascal. Get her out of here, please.
Jumpsy's locked me in the basement. Please let me out.
Okay, she's muted. All right. That's the end of that.
Cool. That was fun. That was
Thanks,
fun.
Illy.
That was
you mind
fun.
If I eat, you mind if I eat some chips for the next question? I'm getting kind of hungry.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this will be great for the editing later.
Yeah, no, just ask the question and I'll mute my mic.
At the 5-minute mark of Girls Only Sleepover, they draw a pig of you, and Brooke says that you're fat, which you reply that she was supposed to be helping you get closer to B, but she was only helping to create insecurities of your weight. I love the use of language in this particular scene because I wanted to mention that you also comment on the... Hold on, I'm trying to read this as I go. I wrote this really quick, but also commend the attention you draw towards people who meanly make fun of other people because of their weight. According to fat.com, they're helping you control your weight, eat healthy, and drop the pounds. I really butchered that, so we can just move on.
But was that the classic Joe move where you like dig really, really deeply into somebody's like video
yeah,
and ask
once
a
an episode at least
overtly personal question and like try to create some kind of metaphor or meaning out of it? Because I really wanted that. I was really excited about that one today.
Yeah, sure. All right. Let me try that again. So at the 5-minute mark of Girls Only Sleepover, they draw a pig of you and Brooke says you're fat, which you reply that she was supposed to be helping you get closer to B, but she was only helping to create insecurities of your weight. I personally, here's what I found. Let me know if I'm in the ballpark. I love the use of language in this particular sentence of dialogue and wanted to mention that, but also commend the attention that you draw towards people who meanly make fun of other people's weight despite it being mean. According to fat.com, they're helping you control your weight, eat healthy, and drop the pounds. Am I in the ballpark?
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
B says, according to, and this isn't necessarily, this is sort of a non sequitur, but.
Non sequitur?
At one point, a non sequitur. At one point, B says, according to all known laws of aviation, there is no way a bee should be able to fly. Its wings are too small to get its little fat body off the ground. The bee, of course, flies anyway because bees don't care what humans think is possible. Is this a covert attempt to insert ecological and environmentally friendly behaviors into your videos, or was this simply off the cuff?
Joe, I really hate to break this one to you. You gotta watch a little indie film called Bee Movie.
Oh, Joe, have you not seen that? It's
Was it a quote from that movie?
Yes, it's a quote.
I actually have not seen it.
Wait, do you really? Hold on a second. I thought this was a bit, Joe. Did you not know that that was from the Bee Movie?
You know what? I didn't. I haven't seen the movie.
Oh my God. Not only.
I'm so sorry. I feel so ashamed now. I feel so ashamed.
Oh, that's sad. No, Joe, I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm really just sad for you that you haven't got to experience it.
Oh, yeah, Joe, you would really like that movie. It was, okay, so it was spearheaded by Jerry Seinfeld, of all people.
You know, I've watched a 45-minute clip of Jerry Seinfeld reading the script.
What?
But I.
What?
But I have not seen the
How
movie.
Have you seen that, but not the movie?
It doesn't make.
It always just seemed like one of those movies to me that I just don't need to see. I don't know. I'm so sorry.
I would consider it culturally important. Like it's one of those movies that like it should be a one-off joke that never gets made. You know,
we're talking Shrek levels.
Yeah. I highly recommend you watch it this weekend, Joe, to be honest.
I actually was really excited. Later tonight, I might do this. I really wanted to watch Yes Man.
Ooh, that's a good one. I would recommend that over B-Movie, though.
It was one of my favorite movies when I saw it when it came out in like 2009 or so. At the end of 2008 or so.
The only thing that I think of when you say Yes Man is the scene where the grandma takes off her dentures and gives him a little thing. Can we, how raunchy can we get on here? She gives him a little, gives him the old Twizzler Gizzler. Does that make sense? Is that landing?
Oh, the Twizzler as in the
penis.
Yes, the penis. Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
That's the only scene I remember.
Yeah.
One of the scenes that stood out to me is like he's saying yes to everything and then like the FBI comes and it's like, did you marry this woman who like, and like, did you learn these languages like and learn to fly? And they thought that he was a terrorist.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. I liked the part where he gets framed for serial murder and he goes to the courtroom and he has to say yes. And his attorney's just sitting there with his head in his hands, just thinking, what did I get myself into? Who is this guy? And the judge is saying, did you commit the murder? And he's saying, yes, I did. Every time he says yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you watch the literal version of this movie? Okay.
That I feel like that movie changed my life because
really?
I was at a point in my life where I was saying no. And then I was like, let me try to say yes more often.
Because I feel like the message of the movie, though, is that it's kind of like not good to do that all the time, though. Like,
well, I didn't do it all the time.
Okay. Because like it shows the perils of saying yes to everything.
Oh,
spoiler alert. I'm sorry. We really should have specified.
I don't think people are really like holding on to plot spoilers for Yes Man
yes,
nowadays.
Man.
Yeah, that was the joke. Okay.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, I was putting a very unnecessary spoiler in there. I like how there's a cavalcade of like helicopters and like 12 cars going right past my house right now. Thank you, guys. I did tell you I was going to record a podcast, but this is fine. It'll just be really loud on the noise floor. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Anyway, sorry about that, guys.
Thanks again, Illy, for coming on. I don't remember if I think I said thank you, but
yeah.
That just occurred to me. Like, thank you for coming on again.
Sure.
Illy, everybody.
By the way, that's not the same as Illimation that we've had on in the past.
No. Yeah. Different person.
No. Wait, that was not Illimation?
No, that wasn't Scott. That wasn't her doing a bad, like, Scottish thing. Like, that was two separate people. Oh, yeah, someone in the chat. Oh, Illy in the chat says y'all met Illimation. Yeah, she's been on the show before. We were gonna.
Illy was here.
So we were gonna go to VidCon and hang out with her this year, and then that didn't happen because the year sucks and is stupid.
You planned it in the before times.
The before times, yeah.
Yes, BC, the pre-Rona coronavirus, era.
Yeah. Ugh.
In the after times, we're all hanging out. I know what's happening.
Yeah. The cool thing about podcasts, is that it really, like, our recording has not really slowed down at all. Like, this is one of the few things that hasn't been affected by that whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, for all the people whose jobs revolve around, like, content creation from home on the internet, we're thriving.
Yeah.
Fantastic. When it comes to content creation on one, I have two TikTok channels. One is Disney Joey, where I would make a lot of videos like at Disneyland and stuff, and they would get a lot of views because it was like,
what do you do
you
now?
Don't always get,
How do you do it now if you can't go to Disneyland?
So I created a second channel called Joey Cooks, which was going to be a cooking channel, but what it turned into was just me telling my brother Jeff, oh, don't eat that food. I poisoned it.
Unless everybody likes and shares,
you're going to die. And then because it's a bunch of gullible kids, they would like and share.
It's a great strategy. And
yeah. So they get some of these videos get like thousands of shares and like hundreds of thousands of views. And then I'll get like kids that are posting, is that really poisoned? My mom says that's not really poisoned. I'm not liking. And like,
ooh, so but then you get that interaction of the top comment saying, guys, I don't know if he really poisoned the Kit Kat bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I did. I did not expect that to blow up, but now that channel has more than twice as many followers as my main channel had at the beginning of the quarantine.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
To be honest, Joe, I've never really said that, but that is a brilliant strategy.
Thank you.
To do something really ridiculous, but that gullible kids will actually believe and have them share and like. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
Don't tell anybody that watches my videos, please.
Okay. I won't. I don't know them.
Okay. Sometimes to drive up engagement so more people leave comments, I will purposefully not understand something or like misinterpret it. So like when, let's say, for example, there's a character in the game, somebody's in like a character model of like Sans from Undertale, which is like a skeleton. I'll just say, what up, blue skeleton man? And then there will be a fucking swarm of comments going,
actually, that's Sans from Undertale.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to do is purposely misunderstand people. It's such a source of just like really bad trolling for me. Like, it's just good energy. Just misinterpret everything. Like, oftentimes people will be talking about Minecraft on the server and I'll just be like, who's Minecraft? It's just fun to act like a complete moron who doesn't understand pop culture on the internet. I don't know why. It just tickles me.
I'm loving this energy. Do you guys feel that?
I do. What I will do on TikTok sometimes is if somebody's mean to me on there, I'm not above putting them in their place, right? And teaching them some internet etiquette.
Yep.
So if somebody says something like, I think Illy's leaving. Bye, Illy. Have a good night. I think she's leaving in the chat.
Oh, bye, Illy.
But... so, like, if somebody, I'm trying to think of, like, a specific example, but if somebody's like, your videos suck, I'll go into their channel and I'll see that their videos have, like, one view each, and I'll be like, yeah, okay, one view each.
So you're out there slamming these kids. You're suplexing.
So, yeah, somebody's got to teach them. You don't just make fun of people.
I love that.
I'm not above that either. Some people think, oh, Joe, aren't you above, you know, making fun of the kids? No, I'm not.
Well, I think that there's ways to go about it. There's ways that are just like you just being kind of a dick to them. And then there's also like you saying things that you probably shouldn't. And I think you kind of ride that line. Like, I think you
there's rules of engagement.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that makes sense. I don't know. I can't say I make fun of a lot of kids myself, but I can see why someone would.
All right. No, let's move on. Let's talk about shapes.
Okay.
I like that.
What's your favorite shape?
So it's really easy to take this question at face value and think this is just a silly throwaway question.
And it is.
And it is.
And it is. So a circle.
I knew you were going to say that because I'm actually reading your energy.
Oh, yeah. This is a new thing he does on the show.
Ooh. tell my horoscope.
Okay, so you have to put your hand up to the sky, and I can read your palm.
Okay. It is...
It's got lines on it. Am I right?
Yep.
It's got... I'm sensing five fingers and some lines on the fingers. You have a creative future ahead of you.
You really think so?
Yeah. You have a lot of people that look up to you, and I think that there's a road ahead of you. There's two roads.
Oh.
One is a virtual reality road. So I don't know exactly what that means.
Like a chat road?
Something having to do with YouTube videos, I'm sensing, but I don't know exactly what that, you know, right? And the other road has to do with cooking videos. Yeah, you could make cooking videos.
Cooksy?
I see that in your future.
Cooksy!
Yes.
That's probably I don't cook, though. Yeah. I learned how to boil water when I was 22.
Oh, perfect. There you go.
What? No, not perfect. You need to learn a little more than that.
Perfect. I need to know. I need to know things to do it on a YouTube channel.
By the way, I don't know why, Joe, but for some reason, when you got to the part where you're noting that he had five fingers, I just thought, like, what if this was like a one-off thing where, like, the guests that we happened to have on only had four fingers left and they felt really sad and everything? I was just picturing that. I don't know why.
I have a friend with four fingers on both of their hands, and I really want to get her on the show just so that Joe will fuck it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's normal. That's normal to wish ill upon others.
Wow.
That's very healthy.
Okay. All right. I don't like, where do you guys want to go from here?
I think I have one or two more questions that I typed out ahead of time. Oh, what goes into making the vibe of your videos? What makes your videos stand out in your opinion?
I can't talk highly of myself because that just doesn't, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have, like, I'm my biggest critic, right? You're always your biggest critic. So I can't say too much nice things, but, I would say I went to film school, which is the most fucking pretentious thing somebody could say, but I went to film school, and like the only thing that I can take away from that is like, I learned story structure. So, if anything, if you like watch one of my videos, there is a beginning, middle, end, and there's a climax, and there's a, you know, there's a goal, which is a huge thing for YouTube. You need to have that. If your video doesn't have a goal, or if it's pointless, it's just not gonna like gain traction. And that's what a lot of people that are like starting up their YouTube channels it takes time for them to realize it. But when you first make your channel, a lot of the time your first video is just you playing a game or you talking to the camera about something. And you'll see so many channels that have like, you know, their 10 subscribers and you watch one of their videos and you're seeing like, oh, it's just them like talking about something that surely means something to them, but like they did not structure it or give any reason for anybody else to care about it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to mention something here because I really agree with that, which is that there's kind of this thing, there's this problem in podcasts in particular where a bunch of people will get together because in real life, they're a group of friends and they think that they're hilarious. And so they start something called the My Friends and I Are Funny podcast, which it's this thing where people don't really understand that while they may have a bunch of jokes that are funny to them, a bit, you know, like a big meta lore of inside jokes that doesn't necessarily translate to something that people externally would actually laugh at. So I get what you mean.
Wait, could we do a little segment of the My Friends and I Are Funny podcast?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and then the green banana.
Chicken bird.
Joe. Mrs. Holbrook would totally get a green banana, if you know what I'm saying.
Jesus, what a dummy. Oh, you know, when I was in her class, we would always show up late.
I mean,
so that's what
shows are like when they do that, and it's like, it's not good. It's not good content. It's... it's how you make a podcast not grow. I kind of was just trying to relate that to what you're saying. You're saying you do need some sort of focus or goal to take off, I guess.
Yeah, one of the best skills that I'll just speak for YouTubers, or I guess this could apply to podcasts too, if you're an avid podcast listener. If you're trying to create something, the best thing you can do is find the skill of like cutting your brain in half and like putting yourself in the shoes of somebody that is listening for the first time and has no idea who you are and doesn't know anything about you. And then ask yourself, do I care? Is this interesting to me? Is this funny? Whatever it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely agree.
At the same time, though, I'm going to kind of argue the other side of it. I do make a lot of jokes and references on the show that like are specifically for our core audience. Like, I think that's really important too. Like stuff that like people, if you're listening to this right now, if you came from Drumsy, you won't get some of the references on here, but I still think I really want to play towards our core fans specifically.
Well, that's not the arguing. The beauty of it is there's repetition in it. You know, Joe's got a horoscope. He did a horoscope again, and I've been binging this podcast for like a week now, and I immediately heard it, and the first time I heard it, I just thought it was a funny bit, and then I heard it this time, I'm like, wait, it's a repeating bit? Excuse me? So it's like, if it's good the first time, yeah, repeat it again. Like, yeah, but, and...
Or even if it's not.
Even if it's not. Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. I agree.
But having a repeating gag for the core audience, or like an inside joke for the core audience, does not go against what Drumsy was saying.
It's
like his point. You're putting yourself in their shoes. What do they want to hear? The core audience is important, and they want to have those types of jokes.
Maybe I could draw a distinction between a podcast that has established itself and has a fan base and one that has not.
Yeah, if you go and listen or watch a PewDiePie video, there is always a bit that's going on right now. He's got a big tower of tambourines. He adds a tambourine to the tambourine tower every time he gets a million subscribers. Mm-hmm. And he hits it when something happens. I think it was like the tambourine of, I don't know, shame or something. I don't remember. But there's something also about once you have an established audience, you have an in-joke. And then when people show up and they see all these people in the comments laughing at this thing that they don't quite understand, that's appealing too, because it's like, well, I want to be part of the crowd. I want to be part of the in crowd. I want to know.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to note that I have my pop filter set up in such a way that my nose will sometimes boop it. And right. I do have it happened again just now, like twice in the last 30 seconds.
Be careful, Joe.
I do have a large nose.
All right. Yeah, for people in the audience who didn't know, yep.
Can we all touch our noses to our microphones right now just to have like a little bit of a moment together?
Yeah, I'm touching.
Since this is an audio podcast, I'm going to pretend that I did. So yeah.
I'm touching mine now.
Audience is doing it too, I hope. Yep. Like,
get your microphones
on your
out.
Phone.
And guys at home, if you can touch your nose to your microphone.
If you are capable.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that ability.
If it's your phone, though, like if you're listening on your phone to this podcast, maybe don't. That's kind of gross. Phones have a lot of germs on them.
Well, I feel like a microphone would too, though, because you're...
Oh, that's so true. Oh, no, what am I doing? Let's all lick our microphones in unison.
Yeah.
Okay, licking now.
Yeah, I'm going to just say I licked. Yeah, we'll call it that.
That tastes like Corona.
Drumsy, I'm going to give you a really weird compliment.
Please do.
Okay.
I think all compliments are weird. Right? You're just telling somebody something. I don't know.
No, some of them are wholesome. Sorry, go ahead. Nice. Okay, so I've seen pictures of you in real life. And
oh, no.
I feel like if you were a bird, you would be a pretty bird. Like, people would find you nice to look at as a bird.
That is strangely flattering.
Yeah.
I expected this to go in a sour direction, and I'm happy with where it went.
Mm-hmm. I just had to say it. It popped into my head like an hour ago, and I felt like I had to convey that to you.
You've been holding it in all this time?
Oh, no, I literally just remembered it just now.
Not like a peacock, though, right? Not like, because they're so cocky, and they seem like they know that they're the shit, and I don't like
they're
that.
Kind of peacocky. Okay, that's disgusting. Someone's posting in the chat, PewDiePie gobbling on a Shure SM7B. Yikes.
Mm. Oh, Drumsy, you should do a Mr. Beast style giveaway where you just, but you're giving away like virtual currency and then just have a clickbaity title like, I gave someone $100 million, but it's like virtual currency. And like,
I'm going to complain now, Joe, because that's a great idea. Oh, you're saying virtual currency, like Fortnite bucks or something.
No, well, just like something you make, like completely fictional.
Oh, fictional dollars. That's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea. Can we talk, though, about Mr. Beast just ruining it for everybody else?
Yeah.
All it costed back in the day, a couple of years ago, all it costed to make a clickbaity video was $100. That's all it took. I gave the homeless man $100 is all it took to get yourself some views, but Mr. Beast took it up to the millions, and now nobody can do it. And that's just unfair. Mr. Beast, if I dare say, Mr. Beast is like the, oh God, I gotta not use a mean word. Is the Jeff Bezos. He's the Jeff Bezos of YouTube.
I feel like that's kind of a mean thing to say. I don't know.
But you can punch up. You can punch up.
I can punch up, right?
Okay. Wait. Yeah. Okay, so let me put it this way. I have a new idea for you. What if you were to do a video that was like donating $5 to streamers in order to reestablish donation normalcy?
Normalize small donations.
Normalize regular donations.
Yeah.
Like
that is a golden ticket idea.
You shouldn't have given that to me because I'm gonna take it now.
I don't care.
Excuse,
please
it's
do
all yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then have people planted as the recipients and have them like jump out of their seats and be like, yeah. Oh my God.
Super,
you know?
Exaggerated. I love this. I mean, honestly, when you are starting a Twitch stream and you don't have viewers and somebody comes in and gives you any amount of money, it is hype. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
For sure.
I mean,
if I'm... Sorry, go ahead, Lars.
No, go ahead. I was...
No, I was just about to reiterate, like, if I was doing that, I would be excited if somebody gave me, like, a dollar. I'd be like, am I on the upstream?
Well, a dollar? I would be like, all right, that's nice. I don't know. Like, in 2020, that's not much money. That's like, it takes like $1,000 to change my life at this point in any meaningful way. So, I don't know. Maybe that's just because I'm becoming an older adult. I don't know.
When I was blowing up on TikTok and I was doing a live stream, I was live streaming to a bunch of people. It was in the hundreds of thousands. And that was over time. That wasn't at once. It was like 4,000 people at once. And I was getting a bunch of gifts. I got like $30 worth of gifts. But you need $50 to cash out. So I still have not been able to even access any of that.
Wow.
Whoa.
That was something of a humble brag. But the point is, I got like $30 in gifts and I can't even access them. So TikTok's like...
That feels shady to me.
You have to hit 100, right?
50 or 100. Yeah, I thought it was 50, but something like that, yeah.
I feel like there should be a way to cash out otherwise, like, especially if you're going to quit TikTok, because that is money that you have legally earned. I don't know.
Yeah, you would think. You would think.
You think.
Yeah, they did start the creator fund, actually. It's like $1 per 30,000 views.
Oh, that's a thing?
Yeah.
I would have thought you would have made much more than $100 then at that point.
Wait, are you saying they made it so that without donations, you just get advertiser revenue now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really good. That's really
good. How are you not making decent money, Joe? I don't understand. Because you get a lot more than that, right?
Yeah, I'm making some money on there now. But you would have to, Drumsy, you have to sign up for it. Go into settings.
I think I know what you're talking about, Joe. And I think I was denied when I signed up for it.
Oh. Well, try again.
I will try again. Yeah. I can only imagine why. And it was probably of my own fault.
If only it was... I want to do a quick calculation. If they did this creator fund when I was like at my peak.
Yeah. Or, I mean, maybe they saw some of the clips that you have with like 7-year-olds and stuff and found it kind of like sketch because they didn't understand the context.
What, me?
No, Drumsy stuff. Like the... Do you post that kind of stuff on TikTok?
So Joe, I've seen some of your content, and like, although, you know, there's the occasional I poisoned my brother.
Right.
You're pretty clean, right?
Yep.
My stuff, I had to learn how TikTok's rules about you know, not cursing and not doing anything even slightly remotely suggestive. I learned that over time, and like my account got like shadow banned for a couple months where I didn't get any new viewers because they did not want me being shown to people. But
yeah,
once I
figured, were ashamed.
Yes, they were. But once I figured it out, here's the problem. Even now anything that is even remotely raunchy is very suggestive and is not flat out. We never say the word. We never say the sex word. We never say the curse word. But the problem is, even if you're suggestive, if the thing gets like a million views, all these like 8-9-year-olds see it and they're like, I'm going to dub over this. And then you have a little kid dubbing over something saying, I'm going to cut your pee-pee off, even if it's the word pee-pee. And that's family friendly and clean, right? But
sure.
But it's an 8-year-old saying it, and they don't like that I gave them the opportunity to do that, so they take it down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's really a fine line. I've wondered if I'm normalizing poisoning your family member.
Well, I think it's undeniable that you are. I mean,
like what if one out of 10,000 kids sees my videos and they're like,
uh-huh, me too. I should do it as well.
I should poison my brother. Like, I don't think that's happening, but...
That'll never happen, but TikTok is the one company that thinks it will, and that's why they don't let it happen.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if I'm worried about that happening, then SpongeBob, you have to worry, like, oh, is SpongeBob normalizing breathing underwater because SpongeBob breathes? Like, no, it just doesn't make sense.
Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry, everyone from our parents' generation would be running up to us and hitting our heads with... cartoonishly large hammers.
Right, exactly. So that's how I justify to keep making videos about poisoning my brother and literally like saying, and then people ask, oh, why is it? Because I always say, if you don't like and share, he's gonna literally die. So people will be like, why isn't he dead yet? And I'm like, well, enough people have been liking and sharing. It doesn't make any sense.
He's been through a lot.
And then we've actually entered a new era where sometimes I'll post that he did die, but that one of our viewers is Jesus and literally revived him and brought him back and stuff. And Jeff has long hair, so Jeff will take his long hair and turn it into a beard and will sometimes pretend to be Jesus. And I'm pretty sure that got me shadow banned now. So,
oh, okay. By the way, I don't think I've ever mentioned this, but... your brother Jeff, who gains nothing from this, is quite the trooper for participating in all of this, like at your whim.
You cut out.
I think he just left.
Oh, I mean, Jeff does gain something from it. Like this hashtag save Jeff videos do have like millions and millions of views. So he is gaining like.
Well, did they go to? Does he have an account that they then go to, or?
He does. He does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has like thousands of followers because of it.
Okay, makes sense.
Have you ever been recognized, Rumsey? Like just out and about?
Yeah, a couple times. Mostly there's a tier list of where you'll get recognized when you're a gaming slash.
Can I guess what the top is?
Yeah,
I would guess that it's the convention.
Yeah, that's for sure the top one, because everyone that goes to the convention watches YouTube, so it's a higher.
You're wearing a name tag probably.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But the second highest, at the B tier, you've got your GameStops.
Oh.
You've got your electronics sections, like in Best Buy.
Okay.
That's happened.
That makes sense.
One time someone recognized me in a Taco Bell drive-thru and they gave me a Crunchwrap Supreme. That was an achievement that I put that Crunchwrap up on the shelf.
Is it still there? Is it like moldy?
Some say
by
it's
now?
Still there today.
I moved out. I hope somebody, whoever moved in after me, found it and treasures it just as much as I did.
Wow, that is cool.
And yeah, I've been recognized a few times just at like, you know, like a local Target, and then it's great. I love it, because like I'll go back to that Target hoping that that guy will be there, because it's just like, that felt really nice to like, you know, see the fruits of your labor in person.
Yeah. What do they usually do? Do they come up to you and say hi, or they just kind of stare at you?
It's so strange. You meet people online in games. Like, I'll be playing a round of Overwatch, and then somebody will say hi to me in game. And, like, it's more often that it'll be an awkward or uncomfortable interaction online. And then when it's in person, every single time it's been pleasant. I have not had the bad in-person interaction, which maybe I think I might just be lucky because I've definitely heard the horror stories.
Oh, yeah, you are lucky with that. We've had some people on that have had some not so pleasant stories. Yeah.
I have a theory that just kind of came to my mind about that, if you'd like to hear it.
Go for it.
So my theory is that of the people that recognize you, the ones that will lead on that they know who you are and feel confident enough to say something probably have somewhat good social skills. And the ones that don't have good social skills that might lead to those negative interactions might not even have the confidence to lead on that they recognize you.
That's probably exactly it. And there's that dynamic when you're in games too, because this is going to be the least relatable thing because it's kind of obscure and I don't think anyone's going to understand what I'm talking about, but there might be one other like YouTuber out there listening that's like, yeah, that does happen. When you're in okay. like video games that have voice chats in them, there is a distinct reaction that somebody will have that is like where they do not directly say that they recognize you or that they know you, but they'll have this weird reaction where they're like, what? No. And then they'll just be quiet afterwards. They'll do something like that.
Yeah.
And then I have to be the one that's like, hi, is something wrong? And then they'll be like, no, it can't be. And then I'll be like, do you want to say it? And then they'll be like, are you drumsy? So like, that's one of the stranger interactions where you have to like, well, I don't want to say it because if I'm wrong, that makes me kind of sound like a douche if I'm like, yeah, right. You do know who I am, don't you?
Do you know who I am?
So to be completely honest, that situation in the abstract is actually not that obscure. Like pretty frequently, at this point, talking to larger creators has become completely normalized for me. I'm completely desensitized to it. But we still get a lot of people who tune into the show and they'll be like, oh, I'm really nervous to like say hello to your guest or something. And so that is a common thing where people are, I think it tends to be kind of younger people where they get anxiety about talking to people that they kind of look up to. That's actually pretty common.
It's so built up in your head because you know, like before this podcast, if you were to see anybody in real life that you knew from wherever, whether it be TV, radio, whatever, and you see them in real life, like it is not just as easy as go up and say hello. It is never that easy. It's a buildup in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get starstruck. You get nervous. The first time I ever got recognized and when I was, I'm right there with you. I like to get recognized. It's only ever from TikTok, but like when I was first blowing up on TikTok, I was like, I wonder if I'm ever going to get recognized. And I was kind of like waiting for it to happen. And the first time it happened was at McDonald's and the girl's like trying to figure out where she knows me from. And then she's like, are you on TikTok? And I was like, yeah. And then she knew me from there and she gave me a free McFlurry.
Oh, did you keep that. It on your shelf like Trumzy?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
All right.
But the vast majority of people who have recognized me from TikTok, they'll just look at me and they'll go like wide-eyed and they'll start like pointing at me to their friends and whispering like, and I'll overhear like, that's the guy from TikTok or like, that's who, like, it's Disney Joey. Like, and then they will never say hi. They'll never actually talk to me, which is like, I don't know why exactly, but.
Can I tell you the most uncomfortable one that's ever happened to me? And I hate to take it to the negative spot, but this one's just so funny to me.
No, please do.
That it happened this way. I was in, I'm a bit of a geek myself. And I went to Comic-Con. That's cool. And I went in line. I waited. So there's these, at San Diego Comic-Con, historically one of the bigger conventions. I think it's one of the biggest conventions in the U.S. And they...
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, and the panels where, you know, like, let's say Avatar The Last Airbender, which is the one I was waiting for, had a panel where you get to, you know, go see an episode early and meet the creators and everything. And you have to wait overnight for it if you want to make sure that you get in. Because the only way to guarantee that you'll get one of the spots is if you wait overnight. So you camp out outside in a line of people. You just have a little sleeping bag and you just wait in this big line. And it's the night before this panel. And I'm sitting in my sleeping bag all cozy. And I'm like chatting up the other people in line around me. and somebody notices me that was just walking by, and instead of just coming up to me as any normal person should, they yell. And they do the like the sitcom style like scream. Not like a scream, but they were like, "Oh my god, Drumsy!" And then they walked up to me, which is like
the announcement.
Yes, the announcement. They announced it to the entire line. So then I go up to them. They give me a pin that has the name Got Drums on it. And I'm because they had this pin ready for me, and they knew I was at this convention. They were trying to find me, and they gave it to me, and I was so appreciative. And then they left, and then I had to sit in a line with a bunch of people that just witnessed this go down for the rest of the fucking night. And one by one, people would come up to me, like a mom and her son would be like, "So what was that all about? Like, who are you?" And like, it was just the most uncomfortable thing.
Yeah, we had another creator on at one point named, I think, wasn't it Shadowforks who had that story about how, like, he apparently, like, shouted over to iDubbbz at one point, and iDubbbz was like, "No, you can't do that." So really, you don't want to do that if you see a creator. Try to approach them, like, quietly and not draw attention to it, especially if people are at, like, a convention or something. Because you don't want to get mobbed at that point.
Yeah, but if I could have chosen for that to happen or to have not happened, I still would have had it happen. Because I'm not a religious man, but it is a blessing when you feel so warm if somebody comes up to you and like appreciates what you do. I bet it's the same way when you're like a waiter at a restaurant and like afterwards, like you get pulled off to the side before the family leaves and they're like, You were just such a great waiter. Here's like a $20 tip. Like, that's gotta be the best feeling.
Or Mr. Beast, here's a $10,000 tip.
Mr. Beast ruined it for everybody. Come on, Jeff Bezos of YouTube.
Yeah, now you give your $20 tip and the waiter's like, "What? It's not more? It's not $10,000?
The waiter's like, "If you really liked me, you would have given me the $1,000 tip.
Mr. Beast gave me a substantially larger tip. Mr. Beast was here last week, and he, you know, he really appreciated the service."
Yeah.
He gave me a gold bar.
Yeah, what if you were a streamer who got, like, $10,000 from Mr. Beast, and then, like, someone else came on, and they gave you $10, and you're like, "Oh, that's nice. That's fine, I guess."
Yeah, like,
he's really ruining it, yeah.
Imagine that same, like, imagine Mr. Beast gives some streamer $10,000 and then they're like, thank you. You know, I'm really struggling. Can you give me more? Can I have more?
Oh no. That's so sad. Wait, I have a question. I love Mr. Beast, by the way. I watch him all the time. Do you think, like, cause I'm pretty sure he's done this thing where he's given really expensive cars to really poor people people that are in a rough spot. Don't you have to pay insurance for the car once you have it? Like, and isn't it crazy expensive?
Yes.
Yeah. Insurance, registration.
Is Mr. Beast ruining these homeless people's lives by giving them an expensive car that they now have to pay like insane insurance prices on?
They could always sell it. They sell the car.
I don't want to make any assumptions about the private details of that. Like, I'm sure, like, he's probably thought of that. Like, I'm sure
they're,
like, I would really doubt he would just do that without knowing. Like, that seems unusual.
Yeah, Mr. Beast has probably such an insane team behind him doing some of this stuff because the amount of, like, financial stuff behind the scenes that has to go around, like, giving people $1 million is so strange, so foreign to me.
Yeah, he buys people houses, they don't show like the paperwork they do after of him signing over the deed and stuff like that. So yeah, there has to be a lot going on behind the scenes.
Get Mr. Beast on the show and please ask him what the paper, just talk, just one 3-hour long podcast about paperwork. Just ask him about paperwork.
Can you give us the private details of all of your transactions and let's analyze them in depth?
Yeah. If I was Mr. Beast, I would love to just be able to give tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars away or just like buy my friends an island. That would be, and you know, the money that he makes on each video, he'll give away like $100,000. But if you do the math, he's making like at least $100,000 in ads. Because those videos get like 30 million views or like.
I think from my perspective, I don't think the actual videos are going to be making the money back even close, but I think the sponsors more than pay for it.
Like the ads that he...
From a behind the scenes perspective, I bet you the way that he's ramped it up over time is based on how much the sponsors will pay him. So if a sponsor says they'll pay him $20,000 for a video, he will do giving away $20,000.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I understand why a lot of creators are switching to sponsors for their main source of revenue. But God, it's so annoying, like towards the end of something when someone brings up a sponsor. Like audibletrial.com/TMYpodcast. Joe, I think we should talk about our sponsor.
Oh, sure. Yeah. If you're like me and you don't know how to read, audibletrial.com/T1podcast is the way to go. You might have to stumble that into your URL, but yeah. If you don't know how to type, like I don't. But you
get
know,
your folks to do it, yeah.
Yeah, get your friends to do it. audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
Yeah. Guys, Audible has a proposition for you. They want to give you a free audiobook today. That's free, as in beer, not free, as in freedom. Get any book whether you keep the service or not. And if you like the service, they start at very affordable monthly rates. I mean, they're a great product, they're a great service. But keep the book anyway at that point, even if you don't like it. Just pick something up on our behalf. Guys, you don't want to physically read a book right now.
Drumsy, do you know how to read?
I don't. I don't think I think they skipped that one in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's Drumsy, not Readsy, Joe.
Yeah,
he doesn't know how to read.
What am I thinking? Of course.
And he can get a book read to him at audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
/T1podcast.
If you haven't listened to an audiobook before, you should 100% do it instead of reading, because you can't read in a car. Well, you could, but it would get you killed. If you listen to a book in the car, you can get a book read every week just from how often you're driving. So I recently started reading, and now I like reading again. And that's thanks to audiobooks. And you can try that at... Well, let me see if I got that right. audibletrial.com/T1podcast?
That's
correct. Also, I have something to announce for that. Audible is adding podcasts to its service. So if you've finished your book or your books for the month, you can actually start to listen to our show on it pretty soon.
He plugged his own show in his own ad read!
Yeet!
The madman did it!
audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Let's move on. Should we take a couple live questions?
Sure. Yeah, anyone have a live question that they want to ask?
Let's take like
Rumsey.
Two. We're kind of running low on time. Yeah, I'm going to let Phoenix come on.
Okay.
Phoenix, you're unmuted. Is he a sentient being of light?
Oh, a light being.
He sounds ethereal.
I really hope that's his voice right now. I really hope that's his voice in the background right
sounds
now.
Sounds like he's watching an insurance infomercial.
All right. Nice try, Phoenix. We'll take someone else now. Okay.
I have a good feeling about Matt.
Okay. Yeah, let's take Matt.
Matt, you're unmuted.
I'm sorry, I didn't actually have a question. That was a Norm MacDonald joke question. But I'll go ahead ask one for Lars then.
Thank you.
Lars, you were giving Drumsy crap about his name being Drumsy and not having any drums. Are you actually from Norway?
Let me start over. Well, I mean, my family is, yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
Moving on, I guess.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Efrio's got one. Let's
All right, let's take one last quick one. And please ask, if you have a question for the guest, that's cool. Let's do that.
Hey there, Drumsy.
Hi.
Hey.
So I've actually been a fan since your old auto-tune, Black Ops days.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So that was actually the reason why I subscribed. So that shows you what my tastes were back in the day. My question to you is, because your YouTube career has definitely, evolved a lot since then. So what were like the big sort of moments along in terms of figuring out that change and doing something that you still wanted to do, but would still be, I guess, trendy, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes sense. That was like a struggle for a really long time.
Really?
Yeah, there was a down period where I said my channel died, and it was like 4 years, because I was in college, and it went, so my original Call of Duty videos I was making in high school, and then in this college phase, I was like kind of using that excuse of, well, I'm in college, I'll just focus on college, and I don't really have to like dedicate time to YouTube. But really, that was just an excuse, because I was too scared to like try new things and like do anything crazy and experimental.
Yeah, I feel that.
Eventually, I think after the channel died enough, there was no pressure to do anything good anymore. So then it was like, once you're dead enough and nobody cares, you can do whatever you want. And then I started trying new things and experimenting. And eventually,
sure.
And eventually stumbled upon VR, which I was just naturally really excited about because VR is dope.
Yeah. Well, I would actually say that like the stuff that you're doing is sort of like still on brand with what you used to do, which is interacting with other people in game and it being really funny and just like the weird sort of interactions that kind of happen. So it still is like the drumsy now is like it's this for me, at least as a viewer, it feels like it's the same drumsy that I subscribe to.
Well, that's so
like,
nice.
I don't feel like I feel like that, but I also feel like that's just you. Like you've stayed very genuine to your audience and you're not trying to like create characters or anything. It's just you in game being really funny. And I think that's like why viewers just keep coming back. And I'm glad to see that it's actually, dare I say, even better than what it was back in the day. So
don't make me cry, dude.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
We have you. No problem, we have man. You on. You make our guest cry.
All right.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Thank you, Efrio.
No, I was just kidding. Thank you for your question. Thank you for coming on, Efrio. It's always nice to speak with you, even though I didn't like speak with you except for right now. But thanks for
yes, now.
Okay.
Should we take one more, or what do you? What do you?
Think? Nah.
No.
I
okay.
think that's good for now.
Well, I. Well, thanks everyone for your questions.
Yeah, thanks for your questions, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Was that to me? Thanks for coming on to me.
Oh no, for the people who asked questions.
But yes, thanks
but
for
also
coming
thank
on.
You to
like,
you.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. No. Listen, thank you for coming on to my podcast. See how we're circling back?
Oh.
Because remember, thank you guys for taking over as hosting. You took a lot of pressure off my back this time.
Of course.
For making the Discord server and making the previous episodes. Yeah, we really did you did you a solid there. You
really did me a favor.
Yeah, you've sort of been the mastermind behind it this whole time, but we are happy to sort of take that load off for you.
All right. Yeah. So, Drumsy, if people want to find your stuff, where can they go to check it out?
So, real easy, you can just type in Drumsy on YouTube. If you like typing in URLs fully, you could go to youtube.com/Drumsy. And my name is either Drumsy or Drumsy Official on most social media. So I appreciate anyone that would actually want to hop on and check me out just from this lovely podcast. But, yeah, I mean, my videos are for all ages. My dad likes my videos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did I sell myself pretty good there?
Yeah,
I think you did a good job.
Also, just to clarify, at this point, you're basically specifically doing VR chat content and nothing else.
Right now, yeah, it's basically like vlogged skits with a group of friends, yeah.
Okay, just to set people's expectations.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right, I think that's going to do it.
And I guess everybody who's listening by now, you've heard the news that I will be departing the podcast. So I posted an announcement in the Discord server, so I'm just going to read the announcement that I made. It goes like this. Hey guys, it's been an incredible 2 years that I've been honored to participate in the creation and growth of the first podcast. Quite the wild ride, eh? I've chosen to resign from my role as co-host of the first podcast in order to work on different types of projects and to keep growing as an artist I'm planning to make an announcement on tomorrow's episode. That's today. That's right now. That my last episode will be 9-9 next week. The podcast will be continuing. I will always cherish the opportunity that I've had to work with Lars, who is amazing at what he does, as well as the rest of the team, who are very talented, and of course our fans. That's you guys, who I love and will always cherish. I'll forever appreciate the opportunity I've had to be given to perform for you and get to know you, and I'm excited to take the next step of my journey to keep growing as a performer and artist, and I look forward to staying in touch with everyone. If you want to collaborate on a project, let me know what you have in mind. I'd be interested. The decision to leave has been 100% my own, and I feel like it's the right decision for me. I said that I would make an announcement, and that was the announcement, and that's it.
So I also just wanted to clarify, by the way, in the checks, I already see people misinterpreting this. The show is 100% going to continue.
That's right.
Joe will also be on the next episode, and then there are going to be several guest hosts taking over, at which point I do have a specific person in mind who is the front runner for the next co-host, and those of you who have been hanging out on the Discord server can probably guess who it is, and there's like, I would say about a 95% chance that he's going to get that role. So the podcast is going to be evolving, but it's not stopping. The journey is not even close to ending at this point. So yeah, just wanted to make that absolutely crystal clear, because it's very easy to assume that if one person has headed out, that the show itself is over, and that's absolutely not the case. So thanks guys for tuning in.
If you did want to follow what my Lewis projects are going to be, I made a link tree. It's linktr.ee/geogeo. So if you're listening to this and you want to know what projects I'm doing, I'm going to be sure to post them all there.
And slight apologies, by the way, Drumsy, for kind of having to do that at the end of your episode.
Not only that, but I binge watched the podcast before getting on the show, and this is just heartbreaking.
Yeah, but just again, the show's going on. Joe's going to be moving on to other projects, and we'll see what happens here. And Joe, can you say something a little bit more lighthearted to take us back to the end of the show?
Yeah. So I want to ask you a rather complicated question. What's your favorite breakfast item? For Drumsy.
I'm thinking. This is a rough one, because if I
this is lightning.
Oh,
round.
Sorry.
Lightning,
okay. Favorite breakfast. Frosted Flakes, brother.
Ooh, the producers are looking for something that has eggs in it. They're looking. We have an egg.
Eggos
sponsor.
Waffles?
Just say eggs.
Waffles.
Eggos, but the Eggos brand that has egg in it.
I think the answer that they were looking for was a little more. I didn't tell you this, so this is my fault. It was a little more scripted. They're looking for an egg and sausage McGriddle. We have an egg sponsor specific. That's what they're.
If you can guess which sponsor that is.
Yeah, they're looking to advertise their new breakfast sandwich.
Okay. Well, if they can also get some frosted like a side of Frosted Flakes with that, I would for sure.
Oh. No Frosted Flakes. I'm so sorry.
You know what's weird? Okay, so our show actually recently got monetized. And so, like, that means that actual literal ads play before and after. And so once in a while, we will get, like, a McDonald's ad on here. It's really surreal.
Oh, pray that it's about to happen right now. Right now, McDonald's is coming up.
That would be great.